You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Live Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Live. Listen each day on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or at FantasySportsLive.com. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello there. I'm Crazy Gaby, here to take you on a mystical journey through time and space in daily fantasy baseball. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Justin. You may know him as Big Italy 42, roaming the low-stakes tournaments over at DraftDay.com. How's it going this morning, my friend?
It's going well. It's going well. Last night was a another exciting night in the industry and kind of low-maintenance night, just how I like them. Hang out and watch baseball.
Yeah, I saw you actually did pretty well for yourself, at least the lineup that you had in our Five Guys tournament. You managed to crack the top five there. So we'll have some gloating to be done a little bit later in the show when we hit those lineups up. But for right now, I wanted to tell you something that I think is going to go ahead and warm your heart this morning in case you needed a reason to feel good. I know you're not generally a morning person. I woke up today and I paid a couple of bills, but guess what I paid with?
What?
Spurs bucks.
Spurs bucks. What? Not familiar. What is it?
Spurs bucks is when you finally collect all of the wagers you made on Twitter, and the money gets sent to your PayPal account, and then you pay bills with them. That's Spurs bucks.
That's incredible. I wish I had some Spurs bucks coming to me, but I never pulled the trigger on it. I just was right the whole time.
Let me tell you what, Spurs bucks are absolutely amazing. They go just as far as regular bucks, but they don't get nearly as many minutes.
And I bet they feel really, really sweet when you get them.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. So, but you know what? That's not to drive a knife into the side of anybody who I did wager with. I just thought it was kind of funny. I thought of it as like Spurs cash, you know, like bonus bucks.
You gotta drive a little bit of a knife. I mean, yeah. maybe don't dig it deep, but you gotta break some skin.
Listen, I'm just trying to teach the people not to bet against the Spurs next time. That was the mistake they made. I don't want them to make it again. I need them to remember that.
I kind of want them to do it again, but I mean, that's just.
Yeah, me too. I definitely want them to remember that again. So there's that. I paid some bills with Spurs bucks. My day started off very well. Your day is about to get a lot better, Justin, because I sent you an email and I told you before the show not to open it until I've given the word here. I'm giving you the word right now. Go ahead and crack that bad boy open. This is kind of what I was thinking for us, you know, if we take a company vacation later in the year.
Okay.
I was my curiosity was piqued when I saw this yesterday, to say the least. So let me know. Let me know when you have that up in front of you.
Oh, I've got it. Oh, well, at least the first picture.
What do you think, my friend?
Kind of wish I hadn't seen that. I don't know that I could pull that off, honestly. I mean, maybe I could. I don't know that I would.
We have to ask our wives what they would think about this. For those of you, you know, we were not going to be assholes and laugh about an inside joke. Well, it's asymmetric thongs. And if you haven't, and spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to have to seriously debate whether or not you want to take a look. But if you're brave enough, you can go to BuzzFeed.com and type in their little search area, asymmetric thongs, or maybe it's still at the top of the page. But it's pushing every boundary in fashion, I think, that's ever been created. It's certainly impressive. The fashion industry is not one that I am privy to, generally. I don't keep up with what's going on in it, but this was enough to catch my attention. And I think, what do you think about getting an FSL logo right smack dab in the middle of that bad boy?
I think it would be phenomenal. You could get, you know, if they have like a remake of Borat or something like that, it's kind of similar to his thing, except it doesn't go all the way up. It just kind of goes sideways. So, I mean, it's a thing that's been done. I think they're just perfecting it, and I think they're well on the way, except for I kept scrolling down hoping that it would get better, and it just continued to get worse.
That was your first mistake, scrolling. Well, your first mistake was opening an email on air that I told you not to open until we got on air. Your second mistake was continuing to scroll down. And your third mistake is actually going to be not closing it right now because I know you're still looking at it.
Oh, I closed it just now.
You already closed it?
It's closed.
All right, fair enough. I think the only question that's left here is when we rock these this summer, do we get a bikini wax first?
No.
Okay. All right, on that note, we're going to move out of the not safe for work portion of this week's podcast. Go ahead and take the headphones out of your computer. Your boss can listen to this next part. Hell, he might even give you a promotion for it because he's going to win some money from playing Daily Fantasy Baseball at DraftDay.com, just like a few of these folks did. It's time to give some shout-outs to the winners of our featured contest at Draft Day. Starting off with the 109 Field of Dreams last night, we had Redemption 72 with 256 points on the back of a dynamic pitching duo, Chris Archer and Zach Wheeler. Common theme among top finishers last night. Also, was able to ride the big night from Dustin Pedroia, Edwin Encarnacion, and Jonas Cespedes. So very nicely done. Justin, who do we have chasing the money behind him?
We had Run It Up, MD0530, and T-News.
You know what? I'm impressed. I thought you were just going to go on autopilot and do the fifth place finisher again. And
see, I was going to, because a lot of times I'll just leave up the article,
right,
and then I read it off of there, and I'm just used to the top five. But now I leave the link open, and I look at the numbers next to it now so that I don't make a damn fool of myself anymore.
Well, it would have been awesome if you did it this time, because there were two people that tied for fifth place, so you would have been shouting out to two people that won no money, which would have been absolutely amazing. You would have.
Oh, they would really hate me.
Yeah, you would have made two enemies for the price of one. That's a Billy Mays type deal right there. You can't go wrong.
That's a hell of a discount. I don't mind doing that. Maybe Monday.
But if you call now, anyways, going over to the $15 knuckleball. Oh, you know what? I would be remiss. I'm sorry, folks, ladies and gentlemen, America. I moved along too fast. My apologies. You got to enter the 109 Field of Dreams. But if you can't do it for $109, you can do it for $5.50. Those qualifiers run daily at draftday.com. They also have $11 and $27 qualifiers. So get in on a discount. Give yourself a shot at some major money. Now, the knuckleball is no tournament to shake a stick at either. You can shake a stick if you want. Kind of foolish, in my opinion. Doesn't really do much. But, you know, whatever floats your boat. And I'll tell you what, Run It Up, one of the more prolific players at draftday.com, of course, he's usually seen around the top of the leaderboard, took down the knuckleball with 255 points once again on the back of Zach Wheeler and Chris Archer, and had four other people that finished in the top five and made money. So, Justin, you're all clear here.
We got Schmidt, CJ, Mad and Crazy, Upper Deckers, and my new favorite name, Mouthy Bitch.
There we go. Mouthy Bitch. Anthony, what's up?
I love that. All I can think of is that girl that hangs out with your crowd when you go out to the bar, and then you just wait to get in a verbal altercation with some drunk chick just so that she can just berate her for the next hour until she leaves.
Yeah, I have no experience whatsoever in that. You know, it would be – would you be interested to know that I've actually never been drunk in my life?
No way.
Yeah. I didn't have my first drink of alcohol until I was 26 years old.
Wow. Well, I mean, Sam Adams Cherry Weed's a pretty weak beer, so, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Fair enough.
I'm going to have to change that soon.
No, I don't think so. I have absolutely no aspirations. I have like a two-drink minimum. Or, I'm sorry, a two-drink maximum is pretty much as far as I'm concerned.
I have a two-drink minimum.
You have like a five-drink minimum. Every time there's any sort of game on that you want to watch, you wake up, you get up in the morning, and the first thing I hear before we do this podcast is, had like 12 beers last night. I can't believe I'm not hungover. Like, just admitting the fact that you were planning on doing the show hungover, you're just surprised that you aren't, which I love. That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, consistency is key.
Moving over to the Wiz walk-off, we had Zim Dog with 251. Once again, rostering Chris Archer and Zach Wheeler. No surprise there. The two big, big pitchers last night. Did a great job. Congratulations there. And we had four other people, including C. Wolford. Murphy Wolford is his name. We did an interview with him on yesterday's podcast. He took down the knuckleball a couple days ago, and it's nice to see him back at the top of the standings. Congratulations, my friends. And if you're interested, you can go listen. We actually had him on the first half of yesterday's podcast, so if you go back and listen to that, you won't have to hear us stammering around for too long. I think it's right around the 7 or 8 minute mark, just to give you an idea. Justin, you want to fill out these last few folks that won a little bit of money here last night?
Yeah, we had Who's Your Patty, who actually tied with Zimdog.
I like that one.
Yeah, I typed daddy when I first saw that this morning, and then I had to go back and realize that it was
Patty. And by the way, my apologies, Who's Your Patty. I did not give you your first place shout out. I greatly apologize for that. I should have scrolled down with my eyes a little bit lower as well and said, congratulations to your Chris Archer. Or sorry, Zach Wheeler and Scott Kazmir. Nice. I like the Stones there. Scott Kazmir, even though he looked like a pretty good pitcher last night, don't see him a lot near the top just because he costs so much money. A lot of the better lineups had Edwin Encarnacion and some other costly players. So very nicely done.
Yeah. We had NJRAJF or NYRAJF, Steven 9678, and then your boy C. Wolford in fifth.
Well, very nicely done, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations to all of our draft day winners of featured contests last night. You should get in the 109 Field of Dreams, the $15 knuckleball, or the 330 Wiz walk-off tonight so we can shout you out on Monday's podcast. So, rapid fire. Did you play last night, Justin?
I played yesterday afternoon. Okay. I did not play last night. I was actually winning 3 out of 5 until Giovanni Gallardo went, and obviously I went with Anibal Sanchez, who managed to strike out 0 batters in 7 innings. So that was my downfall yesterday.
That's pretty crazy, to be completely honest.
It's almost impressive to not do that.
Yeah, I know. I think what would have been more rare, 7 strikeouts or 0 strikeouts?
0 for sure. I mean, you almost. It's not even that he had bad stuff. It was just that they were fooled just enough. Yeah, they scored 1 run on him. They only had 5 hits, and it wasn't that he was wild. He only had 1 walk. It's just, that's really strange. I've seen that out of Rick Porcello before the Tigers, but Sanchez is usually a pretty high strikeout guy. So that was odd.
Indeed. What's not odd is the fact that we're about to hop into some of today's top daily fantasy baseball picks as soon as I let you know about Rapid Fire. Because Rapid Fire, my friends, listen, gather round. Uncle Crazy Gaby is about to tell you a story. There was a boy who just started playing daily fantasy sports, and he was a little overwhelmed by salary cap games, possibly not accustomed to it, but guess what he did? He played Rapid Fire and Rapid Fire Max, got acclimated to daily fantasy sports, kicked ass, won double his money by getting 3 out of 5 correct in Rapid Fire, won 20 times his money by getting 5 out of 5 correct in Rapid Fire Max, and he parlayed that confidence and those winnings into salary cap games and took down the 109 Field of Dreams. That, my friends, is the draft day American dream. Justin, are you on board with this?
Absolutely. It's an easy way. It takes you 2 seconds to go on, pick 5 guys randomly from one side or the other. You can make a little pattern if you want. Do whatever you got to do. Easy money.
Thanks a lot, by the way. Anytime you make a claim like that, we have to put a disclaimer in. So I'm going to have to call our legal team and make sure they notate that it does, in fact, take longer than 2 seconds so we don't get sued.
I bet you I could do it in 2 seconds.
All right, we'll get a screen cap of that and put it up on fantasysportslive.com later this afternoon. I would absolutely love to see that. Moving over to the daily fantasy baseball action for today, not a lot of weather concerns, only 2 games that look like they could be affected. Detroit at Cleveland with a 40% chance of rain, and Toronto at Cincinnati with a 50 to 60% chance. Vegas lines, quite a few interesting ones today to talk about. Atlanta at Washington, spoiler alert, I'm going to talk a little bit about Mr. Steven Strasburg here in a minute. And at first I was very surprised to see he was a minus 170 favorite, just because he was facing Mike Minor, who's no slouch himself. Usually games like this, especially National League games, you'll see like a 6.5 over-under, but you also see like no pitcher greater than like a minus 135 or minus 140 favorite. Strasburg at minus 170 certainly caught my eye, but for reasons I'll mention in just a moment, it ended up making a lot of sense and sort of solidifying Josh Shepherdson's pick of Strasburg for today and paying up for him. The New York Mets at the Miami Marlins. Henderson Alvarez is a minus 140 favorite in a game with a 7.5 over-under. Sure, why not, right? I mean, I've seen stranger things happen.
Yeah, I mean, against Dice K, he's really hard to predict now and only starts every once in a while, so it's really hard to see what you're going to get out of him. And Alvarez is a guy with a ton of potential, so I see why he's favored there.
Okay. Philadelphia at St. Louis, Jamie Garcia, minus 155 favored in the 7.5 over-under. Los Angeles Dodgers and San Diego Padres playing in, you know, an ultimate pitcher's park out there in San Diego. Dan Heron and Ian Kennedy essentially in a pick'em, both of them minus 105 right now. The 6.5 over-under is key, but it's going to be extremely difficult to predict the win. The one nice thing about Dan Heron, though, is he has an extremely affordable price tag, so as long as you get a quality start over 6 or 7 innings from him, you should be able to pay off that price tag. And look, there's essentially an even money chance that he's going to earn the win anyway. So I do like that Josh picked him today as his value pitcher. We're not going to go into details about Herron, but I just wanted to throw it out there for all of you that Herron is a viable second starting pitcher option. Houston at Tampa Bay. No surprise here. David Price is a minus 180 favorite and a 7-game total. Largest favorite of the day, actually. And Price has been extremely volatile with giving up earned runs. He hasn't exactly been holding opponents at bay. But, I mean, his strikeout stuff has looked nice. And as we always talk about here at Draft Day, all you got to do is be able to strike out people at a high rate, and you can cover a multitude of sins. I mean, you can give up 3 or 4 earned runs. If you're picking up 9 or 10 strikeouts and going 7 or 8 innings deep, which David Price often does, you know, picking up the win is just gravy. But even if you don't, you can still manage 35, 40 fantasy points.
Yeah, Price is the perfect example of that with the elite strikeout upside. And even when he struggles, he never really has that game where he just implodes. Even when he's bad, he's still pretty good.
Yeah, you're always going to get something out of him. And this is the line that surprised me the most, to be honest. Brad Mills for the Oakland Athletics. Now, I didn't know a whole lot about Brad Mills until I checked out Josh Shepherdson's Picks to Click article today, where he kind of profiled Mills and exactly the reasons he picked a couple hitters to pick on him. Vegas actually stands, it looks like, in opposition to what Josh Shepherdson was saying. Now, I'm inclined to go with our guy here, but it's definitely kind of throwing me for a wrench this morning, because everything that I read here from Josh says that in 15 games pitched since making a start for the Angels in 2012, he has a 7.76 ERA, and Brooks Baseball's last pitch FX data for him, which is advanced metrics for measuring pitchers, comes from 2012 and credits him with throwing 4 different pitches, none of which top 88 miles per hour on average.
Jeez, so he's Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure what to make of this. You know, Josh is giving the case for a couple of right-handed Red Sox batters in his article today, his Picks to Click article. Vegas is saying Brad Mills minus 150 favorite and a 7.5 run over under game. So it's not like this is like a 10 run over under or a 9 run over under where, you know, Brad Mills is a minus 150 favorite because they just think the Oakland Athletics are going to score more runs, which of course against Felix DuBront, I'm certainly sure they do think that the Athletics are going to score a few runs. But I mean, they're saying that Boston's going to end up with, like, you know, 2-3 runs. So I don't really know what to think. This will be one that I'm probably going to ask around to a few other people I trust today and see what their opinions are.
Isn't Brad Mills the $1 man?
Yeah, the $1 man. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't see why someone has a lot of faith in him if the A's aren't even willing to pay $2 for him. I don't have a lot of faith.
I love that. They're not even willing to pay $2 for him. As though, like, if they would have been asked for $2 instead of $1, the deal just wouldn't have went through. I like that angle so much. That's
no counter offers allowed.
But there you go. There you have it. Minus 150 favorite. Scratching my head, but it's what Vegas says. So I always tread lightly when it comes to Vegas saying something and me disagreeing. So I'll be continuing to monitor this situation. Moving over to Texas at the Los Angeles Angels. Now, Garrett Richards started as a minus 150 favorite. So I did say that David Price is the largest sort of organic favorite on the day. But the betting public has actually, since the lines opened, moved Garrett Richards to a minus 185 favorite. 35 points of movement is pretty significant. The over-under has stayed the same at 8.5. And I'm actually with the betting public here. With Vegas here. I think that Garrett Richards is being a tad overrated this season. I'm not saying he's a bad pitcher. I just don't absolutely love his stuff. That being said, I do think he's a fairly good spot tonight to get a win. The Texas lineup has been pretty awful, and the Los Angeles Angels should score a multitude of runs this evening, so I can't see going with Garrett Richards as a bad play tonight.
No, I mean, he's been pitching well recently, but like you said, he's been a guy who hasn't been remarkably consistent, but he has gone at least 6 innings in pretty much every start except for that one game at Houston where he got rocked in the first inning. So he's a guy, he's kind of expensive for my taste with his upside, but that matchup is solid.
Definitely. In the last game, Toronto at Cincinnati, looks like Matt I don't know. Minus 140 favorite and an 8 run over under. Tell me what you think about him. I know you're a Cincinnati guy.
Love Matt Latos. I think he's one of the best pitchers in the National League.
So you like him? You like him tonight in Great American Ballpark against one of the top offenses in baseball?
Yes.
All right, I think that's a little
He's a guy I'll be playing in some places.
I think that's a little bit of homerism coming through, but I'm willing to take your word for it.
Yeah. I mean, last year, honestly, Johnny Cueto had his struggles and his injuries and everything, but Matt Latos was the best pitcher on that team, which says volumes for how good Matt Latos is because, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Latos was having a great year.
Yeah, and I mean, he's only had one start yet this season, and you give up two hits and six innings in Milwaukee, and that's a good team, a good offense. So Toronto doesn't really scare me there. I think he'll get 7-8 strikeouts and go at least six or seven innings.
Wow, I love the bold proclamation. Absolutely love starting off the day with something like that. So let's hop into my five guys for today via Josh Shepherdson's Daily Fantasy Baseball Picks to Click article. Guy puts out pure digital gold each and every day. Make sure you head to fantasysportslive.com and check that out. Now, first player I want to talk about, Mr. Steven Strasburg, 28.8% strikeout percentage, matches very well with the Braves versus right-handed pitching. They strike out 22.3% of the time. That rate by Steven Strasburg is actually the third highest in Major League Baseball, and the Braves also, against right-handed pitching, rank tied for 25th in weighted runs created. That's a measure of offensive production, which they happen to be 15 runs below league average. The only thing that's really keeping Steven Strasburg from looking like the complete package on paper this year is a 349 BABIP. That stands for batting average on balls in play, and it is an extremely luck-oriented factor. His career average there is 299, so he's 50 points above what his career numbers are. That's going to even out eventually, and you know, once he gets to, you know, a 2.5, 2.25 ERA, and that matches up with the rest of his peripherals, he's going to absolutely look like the monster he is. So I'm a big fan, especially when you consider the fact that Mike Minor, who I mentioned earlier, sort of surprised me that the line was so heavily favoring Washington in this game because Minor is no slouch himself. Did not know this. The Washington Nationals actually rank 5th in weighted runs created versus Southpaws this year with a 110. That's 10 runs above league average. So they should be able to get to Minor enough that Strasburg, as long as he doesn't give up more than a couple of earned runs, he'll probably pick up the victory.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. Washington's one of those teams that I target heavily when they're facing a lefty. And Minor has above average stuff, but he's struggled pretty bad recently. So, yeah, I see Strasburg getting plenty of run support tonight.
Now, this next pick is kind of strange to me. I was not expecting when I woke up this morning to have this as one of my featured plays for the day, but Josh made an extremely convincing case for him. That's Chris Iannetta for the Los Angeles Angels at 6,650. So right off the bat, not going to break the bank. But 23 catchers have totaled 300 or more plate appearances against left-handed pitchers since 2011, and Iannetta ranks 8th in weighted runs created. Now, that's not an extremely impressive number, but he's been 41% better than the average hitter in Major League Baseball over that time when facing lefties, and that is impressive. You look at his numbers this year, he's actually hitting them better than he had been in the past. In 74 plate appearances, he has a 166 weighted runs created. Yeah, I know. He's actually been really, really good. And he's a guy that also knows how to work walks very well. So there's a good chance that he gets on base and gets hit home by some of the other more prolific options in the Angels offense tonight. The best part, though, I've saved the best for last. He's facing Joe Saunders. Rangers lefty has faced 2,000 right-handed batters since the start of the 2011 season, and he has allowed a 376 WOBA. That is the second worst mark in the major leagues over that period. It's absolutely epic how bad he has been against right-handed batters. So, obviously, I'm going to put you on alert right now that the Los Angeles Angels need to be in your lineup tonight. And on that note, I'll move along to the next player, Howie Kendrick at 7,700. All the Joe Saunders reasons apply here. And you take a look at Kendrick. He's struggling a little bit against left-handed pitching compared to his numbers since 2011, only a 114 weighted runs created versus a 128 over the past three and some odd percentage seasons. But since 2011, he has the fourth highest weighted runs created among qualified second basemen. And to kind of put that into perspective, a 128 weighted runs created would actually rank tied for third among second basemen when sorting by overall weighted runs created, not just against lefties. So, you know, when you're looking at opportunity cost at a position that generally is weak offensively outside of a guy like Robinson Cano, who, incidentally enough, is struggling this season anyways, Kendrick becomes all the more valuable when you consider the matchup and the price tag.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I'm looking at Joe Saunders a little bit more in depth while you're saying that, in his last three starts, he's given up 25 hits and has five strikeouts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as if people weren't already convinced that he's terrible after seeing that, I wish that I could play all Angels now.
Yeah, just completely fill your lineup with Angels. There's no stack rule whatsoever. You could just – they're 1-9 hitters and a couple of pitchers.
Yeah. And maybe some guys on the bench.
Yeah. Why not? You might as well put them in too. Josh Donaldson. Mr. Donaldson. Struggled recently. Finally looks like he's turning it around a little bit. 9,100, one of the best price tags you're ever going to see on this guy. Since 2011 versus left-handed pitching, he has 373 plate appearances, hitting 297, 375, 581 with 165 weighted runs created. Now, Miguel Cabrera tops qualified third baseman over that period with 167 runs weighted runs created, but that's phenomenal that Donaldson has essentially been keeping pace with him over the past 3.5 years. And the highest weighted runs created among qualified third basemen when not breaking it down by handedness is 137. So, in other words, Donaldson is a complete steal at this price tag without even accounting for which left-handed pitcher he's facing. He could be facing the best left-handed pitcher in the league, and this would still almost be an autoplay. But when you consider it's Felix DuBrant, who has allowed a 361 WOBA to right-handed batters this year, and a 371 WOBA to lefties as well, so he's just basically been a punching bag no matter who you match him up against, you definitely have a player that I think has to be in all lineups tonight.
Yeah, yeah, and like we've said before, Donaldson is one of those guys who, you know, when he's hot, he's as good, if not better, than just about any hitter at third base. So with his price down, now's the time to take advantage, and especially in that matchup.
Now, you talked about the Washington Nationals. You mentioned that they're a team that you often target, and Josh Shepherdson agrees with you. He says Jason Worth for 9,600 is a steal. Since 2011, this guy has 410 plate appearances against left-handed pitching, batting 310, 407, 500 with 150 weighted runs created, and that's 19th in WRC plus among qualified hitters. So Worth has been a legitimate beast. And if you can't afford a guy like Mike Trout, whose price tag is reaching Troy Tulowitzki levels of salary, you could go with Worth, I think, as your top outfield play and maybe not skip too many beats.
Yeah, no, I have no qualms against playing Worth tonight. I like him a lot.
All right, then you also like a couple of other players a lot. It's time for your 2 cents. Go ahead and chime in and let me know why Anthony Rendon is going to be in your lineups.
Anthony Rendon is the guy that, regardless of which left-handed pitcher he's facing, I don't care if it's Clayton Kershaw, whoever it is, I always play him at either second or third because you can play him at either place. He's a guy that just crushes left-handers. He's got a 344 batting average with a 412 WOBA and a 165 weighted runs created. He just destroys left-handers. He bats almost 100 points better against lefties than righties. And while the splits aren't quite to that extent over his career, last year he was still better against lefties, so I don't think it's an anomaly. I think it's something he's going to maintain, and he's 8,900. Mike Minor's given up 22 hits in his last two games in 9 innings. So as if that wasn't already enough reason to target Washington, I think that Rendon is an incredible play tonight.
Yeah, you have me sold. 8,900, a great price tag for somebody coming in with numbers like that. Second player you wanted to talk about, Derek Norris. And a lot of times, you know, whenever you target one Oakland Athletics players, you'll target other ones in the same platoon boat as them. Derek Norris, of course, in the same sort of range as Josh Donaldson. So tell me, actually, the first time I think I've ever seen Derek Norris priced above Josh Donaldson, tell me why you like him tonight.
I like Derek Norris for the reasons that you kind of got into earlier about how bad Felix DeBron is. If you look even further into it, he's given up 7 home runs in 34 and two-thirds innings against right-handed batters. And he actually has given up 35 total hits in those innings. 21 of them have been extra base hits. So not only are right-handers hitting him, they're hitting him hard. And Norris has power against lefties. He's got a .362 batting average with a .466 wOBA and 206 weighted runs created. So I think with that recipe right there, all those factors considered, that Derek Morris is by far the top catching option tonight.
Okay, and I can't argue that at all. You know, I like Chris Iannetta for the price tag, but Derek Norris, just overall, if I have the salary, I'm certainly not opposed to paying up for him. He's going to be batting fourth or fifth in that lineup, so I think he has a great opportunity to do some damage, to knock in some runs. And with that, that'll end our daily fantasy baseball analysis. Make sure you head to fantasysportslive.com a little later today. Check out Josh Shepherdson's Picks to Click article. He's got multiple players at each position broken down under value picks and top plays. So you'll have players to essentially slot in. You get home from work at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. You have 30 minutes to make your lineups, no time to research. Grab his article and just plug and play. I guarantee you it will be better than anything you could come up with at that point. And that is not a knock on you, my friend. That is just telling you how damn good Josh is at what he does. Now, last thing we talk about each and every day is the Fantasy Sports Live League. And to be frankly honest, I would love to see you there. I don't see enough of you there. Fantasy Sports Live League is a great place. All of our contributors at Fantasy Sports Live hang out here playing this tournament every single night. It is traditionally a double-up game with a flex buy-in, so it can actually go over the allotted number of players that are supposed to play in it. Last night we had a 20-person tournament, but 25 showed up, and we never turn anyone away from the party. Now, the top 10 players doubled their money. They got $4 back. It was a $2 tournament. But the top five players also got entry into my exclusive free roll on Saturday. That's right, my free roll. I give it to you guys because I love you so much. And you can qualify as well by finishing in the top five Monday through Friday of this tournament. If you want to know how to enter, it's as easy as going to fantasysportslive.com, clicking on today's podcast article, scrolling down to the bottom, and there will be an invitation for you to join the Fantasy Sports Live League. Very simple. Hope to see you there tonight. Justin, it looks like you actually had a pretty nice night in the Five Guys League. You were one of our top five players punching your ticket to the free roll, along with P.N. Bohannon, Fantasy Drive, MD0530, and SCH Schmitch CJ. I always get that one wrong, but congratulations to all of you. And I'm not exactly sure what the protocol is when we have two people tied, actually. It looks like Jimbo19 tied with Schmitch CJ, so... Yeah, I'll have to figure.
That's a good question. I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that happen with fifth place yet. So we'll have to figure something out. Probably, most likely, we'll just go ahead and make that a 26 person free roll this week instead of 25 people. So I don't think we'll be cruel and force them to fight to the death or have a sudden
arm
death
wrestle.
Round. Yeah, arm wrestle. Just get together and do something like that. But that wraps up our podcast for today. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate you spending a portion of the day. We'll be back on Monday. Of course, we take the weekends off. Come on, what do you think we are? We got to rest a little bit. Justin, anything you'd like to say to the people before we peace out?
I'm going to go Angels and Nationals. Don't avoid those guys. Don't try to be different because it's just too good tonight.
Don't try to be different except where beachwear is concerned. Make sure you get your asymmetric thong on and send us a picture. We'd love to see it.
Don't send me a picture of that. Send it to him.
We'll see you on Monday, guys. Take care.